This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into this Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. We're live on VSiN and DraftKings Network alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Lots to get to over the course of the next hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, NBA insider from ESPN, former NBA executive Bobby Marks is going to join the show. We'll get into all the big contracts and the start of free agency, winners and losers and all of that good stuff. And then a little bit later, the one and only Will Hill joining the program as well. Get some of his thoughts on NBA free agency, bets maybe that he has made early there and in the NFL, which the NFL is always where we're going to start, Michael, because it's just, it's kind of inevitable here.
Absolutely.
And is there a better time?
62 days till Labor Day, Stormy.
Love to see it.
62 days till Labor Day, which, so we're getting closer, right? We're getting closer. I know it's summer's just beginning for most, but it's 62 days. Labor Day comes here. It's so perfect that we can watch football for at least a good 6 months. It's lovely.
No better time than July 2nd to make some way too early Super Bowl predictions, too. So that's what we're going to do.
Exactly, Stormy. Why not?
That's what we're going to do here, right?
Hot dog predictions, too. Why not? Yeah, I mean, why not? Make some hot. You've done your hot dog research. Are you a ketchup or like Al Davis would have the Otten family. I called them the Otten family Robinson. Jim and John Otten, they were the video guys at the Raiders. They did multitude of things. I mean, John Otten got hired by the Raiders when he was 16 because he got caught breaking into the locker room. So why not hire somebody who's breaking into the locker room and then become a lifetime employee? Makes sense, right? Only at the Hotel California. But anyway, so he would have to, at the combine, he'd have to go get Al a hot dog. And Al only wanted, I think he only wanted mustard down the middle of the hot dog, not on the side, not on the bread, just straight down the middle. Are you a mustard or ketchup girl?
So I was always a ketchup girl growing up. In my adult life, I now do both mustard and ketchup. But I'm not one of those people that puts like all their crazy toppings on it. Some people do mayo or relish or onions or all these different things. I'm a mustard and ketchup gal. More, the ratio needs to be a little more ketchup than mustard, I will say. And do not discriminate against the cheese dogs, ladies and gentlemen, whether they are cheese injected, whether there is cheese on top of them. Cheese on a hot dog is God's gift to this earth, and I stand by that, Michael.
Have you ever had pork roll?
I have not, no. Tell me more.
Okay, pork roll is a New Jersey delicacy, Philadelphia thing. It's kind of like a Canadian ham, but it's done in a... If you go up on the Jersey boardwalk here, you'll smell pork roll cooking on some grill somewhere, and it smells just too good to pass up. But it's a little bit like a Taylor ham product that does really melt. The cheese belongs on a pork roll sandwich, no question.
That sounds nice. Add that to the list. And this is a good tease as well. At the end of this hour, we're going to talk a little 4th of July festivities, some of our thoughts on what we look forward to most on the 4th of July, whether that be just enjoying the day or, for me, betting the hot dog eating contest. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. I was not kidding when I started this segment saying we're going to do some Super Bowl predictions here on July 2nd part of what we were tasked with doing in our NFL betting guide, which is out now on VSiN.com. Use our promo code Lombardi if you want both a discount and an extra month. Instead of 12, you're getting 13 months, an extra month for free. But with that in mind, we picked all of our division winners, who we think are going to be wild card playoff teams, who's going to play in the AFC and NFC championship, and inevitably our Super Bowl game and winners. For you, you have the Cincinnati Bengals defeating the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl. Talk us through, and again, like, take this with a grain of salt. We do reserve the right to change these as the season go on. But as far as where we sit right now, how did you get there?
Well, I got there just by, you know, I got to pick somebody, right? There's no, I wish I had like a foolproof that I went through 77 models. I ran it through the back computer and here's what the card spit out. Like, I can't say that, right? I think the Bengals are going to be better. And I think they're battle tested. I do. I think Joe Burrow's a tough dude. And I think having T. Higgins back for one more year makes that offense really hard to defend. And I think Zach Moss makes a better running game than Joe Mixon did last year. Questions at right tackle, no question. Trent Brown, if he's in shape, could be the best right tackle in football. If he's not in shape, he's the worst tackle in football. So a lot of things you worry about there. Defensively, we know they're going to be better. You know, with Sheldon Rankins inside, helps their interior defense. They draft Chris Jenkins Jr. out of Michigan in the second round. They pick up Geno Stone and Von Bell, two safeties that they didn't really have last year after losing Jesse Bates and Bell. So I think they're better. And I think because of their battle tested and they're better, they can prove and they've won on the road. They've won in since they've won at home and they've won in Kansas City, and they have been able to beat Kansas City. They're the only team logically that I see that can beat them. Buffalo has 13 seconds left on the clock, can't beat them. They have a chance to go to overtime, can't make the kick. Like Buffalo sees those red uniforms and what happened? You know, what just happened? They can't get over it. So I went with the Bengals. Yeah. For the Lions, I just think it's a linear progression. You know, you get into the playoffs, you almost beat the Niners, you should have beat the Niners, and now the next step is you go here. You keep building on where you're going. So that's my progress report there. I'd love to hear how you came up with, shocking you came up with the 49ers, but wow. You know, I'm sure there's a reason behind it.
Okay, for as much as I want to, I'm sure that you and everyone listening wants to say that is exclusively a homer play. Yes, there's a little bit of bias baked into it. Sometimes we can't get that out of our systems here. But I will say, considering the window that we are in with the San Francisco 49ers not having to yet pay Brock Purdy and having so many highly paid players on that roster on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, locked and loaded with talent at the skill positions and defensively with Nick Bosa leading the way, Fred Warner, and the pieces that they have on that side of the ball, I think it feels kind of like an if not now when, especially if, and in my opinion, Brandon Ayuk does get on the field alongside Deebo Samuel and they don't move on from one of those star wide receivers until next season. I feel like they can get there. They are favored in every single game this season for a reason, whether that's rightfully so or not. It's for a reason. They are the second shortest shot to win a Super Bowl because they have the roster and coaching staff in place to get them there. I obviously think that firing Steve Wilks last year, as unfortunate as it is, I like Steve Wilks a lot as a person. He wasn't a fit for what the 49ers want to do defensively. They lost a lot of aggression. They lost a lot of physicality. I think that that should get injected into that unit again this season. And I have another team from the AFC North winning on the other side of this thing in the Baltimore Ravens. So I have the 49ers beating the Ravens in my Super Bowl. But I think that Baltimore, as a team that has really struggled to get over the hump in the postseason, could potentially get there. And last year, it was unbelievable the way things fell apart for them against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. Like, I get why so many people in our guide have the Chiefs getting there yet again, because they just continue to prove that they can overcome whatever it is. Baltimore is going to have a massive loss, in my opinion, at the defensive coordinator spot, losing Mike McDonald and losing some talent, obviously, as well. But the addition for me of Derrick Henry is significant on offense, and what he and Lamar Jackson can do to run things on that side of the ball. I think this is a Baltimore team that could take a step forward, not back, as many other people believe. My odds for my Super Bowl prediction, just 40-1. Yours, 90-1, though, Michael. So interesting bang for your buck there if you think these teams can all get through to the end.
I was surprised. Well, 40-1, but both teams are so good. I mean, you picked the two number one seeds from last year, so obviously you're not going to get a great number. 41's a great number, but, you know, I think to me, I took a team that wasn't in the playoffs with a team that was. I combined that. But, look, I think the Niners, I think the one thing about Kyle Shanahan's operation in San Francisco is he figured out what was wrong with his team. You know, Kyle's intimately involved in all areas of the team. He's just not the play caller. So he knew that, you know, for all the things about Steve Wilks that he liked, he knew that it wasn't going to go in the right direction. It wasn't favorable for him. So I think he needed to make that change. So I think ultimately that was a smart play. And I do think their defensive line has got to, starting with the opening game against the Jets, they've got to be able to show that they can take the game over.
Take the game over and stop the run. Like, that's what they were known for such a long time. And last year that fell to the wayside, obviously. In terms of picks from the guide, there are a good chunk of people that have the 49ers ultimately winning the NFC, but there's a lot more parity, it looked like, at least in the NFC, with four teams. So 49ers, Eagles, Lions, Packers, that seemed to be the bulk of the selections here. In the AFC, 10 of our 21 experts had the Kansas City Chiefs coming out of the AFC. Also, we had three of our analysts that had a Super Bowl rematch from last year with the Chiefs facing the 49ers. Gil Alexander, Zach Cohen, Pauly Howard. Gil and Zach both had San Francisco getting redemption in the rematch. Pauly had the Chiefs making history in that rematch and winning a third straight Super Bowl. But as you look at the AFC side of things, Chiefs are the overwhelming selection here to win the AFC. But then other selection, Ravens, Bengals, Bills, Texans, Dolphins. There are a few shots that could be taken here in the AFC. What do you think?
Well, I think that's the AFC, right? I mean, I think the AFC's wide open, and the Chiefs who come in, they were limped into the playoffs. I mean, I talked to somebody in the league after they played the Chiefs and said they're going to be a one-and-done team, you know, and that was middle of the season-ish, right? And so they got their act together because they got the great Patrick Mahomes. But I think to me that the one thing about the AFC is there's a lot of good teams. You know, and there's a lot of teams that you really, you know, there's going to be a moment of the season next year where everybody's going to think Miami's going to be the best team in the league. We did it last year when they scored 70 on Denver. It just goes back and forth, but there's good teams. But we have to remember, football's a game of attrition. It's going to be who's standing and who's healthy at the end of the year and whose quarterback can make plays when you have to have them. And that's usually why the Chiefs get all the votes.
You know, maybe this is, Michael, maybe this is a question for a later date when I give you time to look at the schedules a little bit more. But with that in mind with Miami, right, are there any teams that just immediately off the top of your head stand out as a team that, oh, yeah, I'm sure they're going to get off to a good start, but they're going to fall apart late like they always do? Like, and again, maybe this is a question for a later day, but is there anything that comes to mind?
I mean, Jacksonville last year, same thing. I mean, I worry about them. Can they sustain it, you know? Because I think what happens is, for me, it's about, do you practice hard? Do you maintain practice level? See, everybody practices relatively the same coming out of training camp. But once week six, once week seven, all of a sudden you stop practicing, injuries crept up.
Okay, you hear that music. We're going to take a quick break here in hour two. When we come back, ESPN's Bobby Marks is going to join us. Can he talk Michael off a ledge and convince him that the 76ers are on the right track?
I'm not
track?
Even going to ask him about the Sixers. Okay. I want to talk about the Warriors. With
come
him.
On. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. It's jam-packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter this season, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for each one, new quarterback and head coaching breakdown, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from our VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards as well. Whether you're seasoned better or just getting started, our NFL betting guide's your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Head to VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of the all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSiN.com/guide. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you, we go from the NFL to a little NBA talk as free agency has been lighting up all of the info boards and Twitter lately. Bobby Marks joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, ESPN NBA front office insider, former executive. You can follow him on X at BobbyMarks42. It has been a busy 48 hours, Bobby. Thank you so much for taking some time with us.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm going to start, Michael, without leading the witness here real quickly. But because of all of the moves that have been made in the Eastern Conference, the question everybody is asking, who's the biggest competition for the Boston Celtics right now? Where do you sit on this?
Are you setting me up for that question?
Just wondering.
Well, listen, I really, when you get the best free agent, not named LeBron James, and Paul George, and you know, certainly you have Joel Embiid and you re-signed Tyrese Maxey. I will put them, I don't know if I'm ready to put anyone at number two right now. I want to see what else Philadelphia does. I think there's some work to do. They need a power forward and a little bit of depth. But I think you can listen. Boston at the end of the day is standing on a pedestal by themselves. But I think certainly, I think Philadelphia and New York, are the two, certainly we'll probably talk about Milwaukee also, but Indiana. But I think certainly where Philadelphia is today, they're in a lot better shape than they were when they lost, game six at home against New York.
But Bobby, how do they do that with the George contract and the Maxey deal? How do they get a power forward and some depth?
Yeah, it's funny. They're going to go. They went from a team that had $60 million in room, and eventually they're probably going to be in a luxury tax here. What happened was they really benefit from Tyrese not signing that, or not both sides not doing that extension right now, because they're sitting on about $6 million in room. They're not going to sign Maxey until they basically use all their possible options in room. They could waive Paul Reed. I think you can get up to like 12 or 13 and go out and get someone, or maybe they can use him in a trade. The trade rules make it a little more flexible. So you could add Paul Reed and another player and maybe bring back a $15 or $16 million player. And you still have some draft equity if you wanted to do that. So there's definitely options. I think once Maxey signs, and then once you start signing the guys that were reported, you know, Oubre and Drummond, then those options go out the window. So there's a timeline as far as how they, you know, continue building out the roster.
When you do add a guy like Paul George, how does that change the expectations for the 76ers? Like, they've already been there, but is the pressure becoming that much more on Joel Embiid with an addition like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, listen, Paul George is going to Philadelphia as third guy, which is pretty nice. It's a nice little, consolation prize as far as having him as your third guy. He was the number one, him and Kawhi were selling 1A and 1B in Los Angeles. But I don't know about, you know, whenever you sign a five-time All-Star and a guy to a $212 million contract, and it's the biggest storyline of the offseason so far. I think there's always pressure. I think, especially with Embiid's window, I would expect him probably to, you know, probably sign an extension sometime this offseason here that he's eligible for. But I do think there's pressure, and as you guys know, you know, the ability to try to deliver a championship in Philadelphia, there's a great reward to that. And I think every season for Embiid on this roster, I think there's continued pressure.
No question. So let's shift out to Golden State. Like, Golden State, you know, they obviously were never going to pick up Chris Paul's $30 million guarantee. You know, they made no real attempt to sign Clay. What is their plan in terms of how do they handle Steph and still say to him, we're going to be a team to compete with in the West?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you got a balancing act of trying to budget. You know, they were very outspoken as far as, you know, that they're basically working on a budget. You've got Curry on 2 years left. He can sign an extension this offseason. They're basically waiting for the next big all-star to become unhappy. I mean, and that, I don't know. You could be waiting for a long time there because you have the picks and you've got the young players. You know, they were certainly in play a little bit with Paul George. That did not work out here, but you know, you lose Curry, and I mean, you lose Thompson and Paul, and you basically, you know, you saw him, and D'Anthony Melton's a nice player, but he finished the season hurt in Philadelphia, you know, with a back injury.
He's got a bad back.
So that's your replacement here. I mean, I always say they don't put a banner up saying, you know, we've got cap flexibility and draft picks. I don't think they put banners up in arenas anymore for that. But you know, they do have it, but it's all a matter of, it's all about timing. And as far as who becomes available, like, I'll give you an example. Larry Markin in Utah is probably a name everyone's going to be talking about because he's in the last year of his contract. He's a former all-star, but if they want to get in the bidding, they're going to be behind San Antonio, who's got a boatload of picks. Brooklyn perhaps has a boatload of picks. You know, I don't think the Lakers, you know, in that mix here, but they'll be behind some of these teams that have really built up their draft equity.
Well, speaking of banners, the Boston Celtics did just earn another one not too long ago, and now they're going to have to pay even more for their top players as Jason Tatum leapfrogs Jaylen Brown for the most expensive contract in the NBA right now. They also extend Derek White. How are they paying all these guys to keep this core together, and how long do you think it can last?
Yeah, they caught a little bit of a break because the Brown Supermax that he signed last year, and then recently the Tatum one, they stagnate. So the Tatum one doesn't kick in until next year. The same with the Derek White extension doesn't kick in next year. But there's going to be a moment of truth, though, and they'll get another year to try to repeat here. But there's going to be a moment of truth next summer when they potentially could have, with payroll and luxury tax, you know, over $450 million. At $500 million for one season. And they're going to be forced to make some decisions, or whoever buys this team is going to be forced to say, you know what, I'm going to inherit a championship roster, but at a high premium, or we're going to start to move off some salaries.
And so then they just have to explain the second threshold. Yeah. We keep hearing when Paul George, when they released that statement, I'm confused. I don't know what this means. Like, I'm paying a double tax. I mean, is it like the mafia where you don't pay the VIG and then you got a double VIG?
I've never seen two words scare so many billionaires. I mean, I've never seen billionaires put these words. I've never seen a statement like that the other day when we're quoting the CBA and the second apron and all. Listen, here, this is part of the CBA, and it had been phased in. Basically, what happened was the league told teams you had a year to get your house in order, right? So the past year, the rules weren't phased in, but you know what some teams did? They went to the buffet line and ate all you could eat before the rules started. And they screwed themselves here, getting some high-priced contracts. So when the rules started April 15th, basically there's two thresholds, okay? So if you're looking at it from a salary standpoint, we've got the first apron with the threshold is $178 million. Once you exceed that, you are not allowed to take back more money to trade. So if you're trading a $20 million guy, you can't trade for $21 million. It's got to be basically dollar for dollar or below. And then we've got this second apron, right? It's at like 188. Okay. Once you exceed that, then you can't take more money back in a trade. You can't combine salaries. That's the biggest thing. So if you had two $15 million players, you can't trade them for a $30 million player. So that goes out the window. The biggest thing is that if you finish the season there in the second apron, your first round pick 7 years out, so it would be 2032, now becomes frozen. You won't be able to trade that. If you finish in the second apron like 3 out of 4 years, this is a whopper of a rule. It doesn't matter where you finish in a draft. So in 2032, Phoenix had finished in the second apron 3 out of 4 years. If they had the first pick in the draft, it gets moved to pick 30. So it penalizes these teams who continually spend here. So that's why when the Clippers are saying, the second apron, it's really not about this year or next year. It would have been about in that fourth year when Paul George, if he had signed with them. So it's almost a quasi hard cap. You can get around it. Like OKC can get around it when you got 16 first round picks and you can continually build your bench out. Phoenix is hard because you have your top heavy with three guys, $160 million, and then you're just building out your bench and you don't have guys you can trade and add. So I always say if you're going to be in the apron, you really better like your team.
We so appreciate you making sense of it all for us, Bobby. Thank you for that. And have a great day. We appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Bobby Marks. Again, follow him on X at BarbieMarks42, doing a great job over there with ESPN, former NBA executive. We're going to hit the break. Who Michael calls an executive on this network. Will Hill joining us coming up next. You won't want to miss it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
That's not a great way to open the show. If you're watching and listening to VSiN, what's going on, everybody? Oh, my goodness. Hello. Head to VSiN.com as well. Best bets and hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and betting news. Speaking of which, right now on the homepage, VSiN senior editor Zach Cohen is locked and loaded covering all things NBA free agency, some of the early winners and losers, and if we should be buying the hype around Paul George signing with the 76ers. If you haven't, hit up VSiN.com. Now's the time. I still cannot speak right now. Excuse me. I think I choked on air.
Okay?
Has that happened to anybody before? Michael, has that happened to you? My goodness.
Yeah, I sneeze all the time on air. I mean, look, you're asking me. I mean, I have sneezing all the time. I can't see that elephant dancing. So, look, don't worry, Stormy. Get yourself okay. We got the great Will Hill joining us here on the show. Mr. NBA free agency himself. All right, so... I mean, much was made about nothing, really, at the end of the day. It's like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, this NBA free agency. What team, if I took Oklahoma City out of the equation, what team do you really actually think improved themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think the league just got better and more balanced with the fact that George did go to the Sixers, and hopefully you'll invite Stormy and I to the parade next June when you're celebrating and know, the Sixers have their championship.
Stop. Will you?
I mean, they got better. No, I can't trust Embiid.
I mean, Bobby Marks was ducking. Bobby Marks was just on before you, and he was convinced that, you know, we wanted him to say all the pot. He knows.
He handled
story.
That
we
question masterfully with you, Michael. He handled that,
it's
that question so well.
It's never
going to
work. You know it's not going to work. Don't humor me. Don't placate me. It's not going to work. I know it. It's fine. I've accepted it. Go ahead. What other team?
Yeah, I would say the league did get more competitive, though, because Philly will be better. Now, I've heard this all. Like, Embiid's got to stay healthy. The thing people aren't mentioning enough or talking about, Embiid's got to play better in big games. Like, Embiid hasn't played well. Forget health, and it is always a health issue, but he's played terribly. But George, Maxey, Embiid, from a talent standpoint, that's really good, and it's just not going to be what we saw these past few months where it's the Boston Celtics Invitational, especially in the East. You're going to have the Sixers are going to at least be feisty. The Knicks got better, so the conference is balanced out. The league balanced out. I thought Denver has really taken a hit these last couple of years when you throw in Bruce Brown leaving, Jeff Green leaving, Caldwell Pope leaving. The owner doesn't want to pay the second apron, the tax here. That's a lot of talent out the building. That's not any talent coming back in the building. I wonder at Jokic. Look, Jokic, he's not 22. He's 30 at this point. And he's like, hey, you're going to punt prime years of my career. I know he's in, you know, wherever, riding horses, and he doesn't take it too seriously. But I wonder if he starts to get annoyed that the team around him is really diminished. And I don't think you can make them the favorite anymore for the title, for the West. So Denver took a step back. I think the league got more balanced. The bet I'm going to be looking to make, and I'm sure the win totals will be up here soon, and I will be very excited to make this bet, Clippers under wins whenever they post it. I'm guessing they post around 40-41 because their best player is always hurt. Their second best player is James Harden. And this is turning into the Herschel Walker trade when you look at what they gave up for Paul George, because he gave up 5 picks, all first round, all unprotected, 2 swaps. You gave up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You still owe those picks to OKC. Now you owe Philly picks for the Harden deal, and that was a good little maneuver by Morey here. You're going to have to think about somehow getting some of these picks back, because you always hear in the NBA the worst thing you can be is in the middle. You're not a contender. You're not rebuilding. The worst thing you can be in the NBA is rebuilding without your picks. They don't have their stuff. You got to figure out a way to get some picks. Now, I know people aren't going to just blow you over for a deal with Kawhi with his injury stuff, but maybe you can get him healthy for a couple of months and then get something for him. So I'm going to be looking to bet the Clippers under with the idea that Kawhi's either going to get hurt, which is usually a very good bet, or Kawhi's going to get traded. And if not, hey, if you go over 500, you beat me. It'll be interesting to see where they post that number. But to me, Clippers are going to be a fade here. That is a disaster of a trade. That's a Herschel Walker trade. I mean, it's just a complete disaster.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we talked on the show yesterday about how, like, yes, obviously Paul George to the 76ers is such a big headline, but conversely, like, what the hell is going on with the Clippers right now? It's looking ugly. Were there any teams, though, that you liked what they did, or there's a buy on team, or I guess the Dallas Mavericks, for example? Do you think that Klay Thompson is going to be a good fit there? How are you evaluating things?
Yeah, I mean, Klay was always one of my favorite players. It's harsh to say he's washed. He's shot the ball well from three at times. He's certainly diminished. He's not as good defensively. He's older. Who knows if he can stay healthy? I mean, look, he had 2 serious knee injuries, so nothing that really moves the needle, honestly. I think maybe by default, if you're some of these teams in the middle of the pack of the West, Minnesota or Dallas, just because Denver took a step back and the league's a little more balanced, if you're a team, you know, not that the Lakers are a contender, but these teams like Memphis and teams at the back of the playing can say, hey, why not us? The league's more balanced. It's more Denver took a hit. These teams have caught up to Boston. So I just think the league's more balanced overall. I don't think, again, George was the one that, oh, wow, that raises your eyebrows. And they have stuff to trade now. So maybe Philly's not a complete team. Here's the thing, though, with betting. Like, they were 12-1 a couple days ago. If you're betting them at 8-1, you're tying up your money for a year, banking on Joel Embiid to stay healthy for a year. That's just not a good bet. At 12-1, 13-1, I guess I get it. But at 8-1, I don't think it's worth the bet. But I will be looking to pound that Clippers under.
How are the Warriors 17-1? I mean, like, they lose Klay. Like, tell me how they're going to fix this without trading Draymond. Tell me how they're going to fix this and make Steph Curry happy. They're under budget restrictions. Like, they just signed De'Anthony Melton, who's got a bad back and couldn't play during the playoffs.
Well, I mean, there's a reason. You watch The Sopranos. There's a reason Tony Soprano and Paul, they all have nice houses. It's nice to be a bookie. It's nice to be a bookmaker. 17-1 is not a fair number. You make a good point. They're not winning the championship. I'd be happy to book the Warriors at 17-1, too. I just think there's a name brand recognition with Curry with the Warriors where they're just lowering a little bit of what it should be. I mean, that should really be 40-1, 50-1. I know I just said the West and the league is more wide open, but that shouldn't be 17-1. That's way too short. You make a good point. They won 4 championships. They went to 6 finals. It's over. This is just the normal course of life in the NBA, life in sports, when you've had a dynasty or a mini dynasty for this long, unless you're the Patriots and you can somehow do it for two decades, it ends at some point and it's over. So yeah, there's no value whatsoever at 17-1. It's way too short. Lakers are way too short. A lot of these numbers are too short. It's good to be the book sometimes. Good to be the house.
Will Hill joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. If you haven't already, make sure you check out the Shoulda Bet More podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Let's switch gears to the NFL here, because a bet that you have added to the portfolio is probably going to make me a little bit sad as somebody who just a couple segments ago was talking about having the Ravens in the AFC Championship game, but you like their season win total under. Talk us through it.
Yeah, it's important. The season win total is so important to just shop around. A half win here or there is so incredibly important with, there's only 17 games. It's 10.5 at DraftKings. There are a couple books that still have 11. And if you want to bet the under of 11, it's -125. I very much prefer that because I do think they can land on 11. And friend of the show, Chris Felica, the Bear, pointed this out to me. He goes, hey, take a look at the Ravens schedule. They're +250 to miss the playoffs. Probably not going to happen, but that's a really tough schedule. When you have to play a first place schedule in the AFC, life's not easy. At the Chiefs, I think the Bills, at the Cowboys, the Eagles, all of those games in division are very difficult. And you're looking at an offensive line where there's not any continuity. You kind of reshuffle on the offensive line. A quarterback who, look, he stayed healthy last year, but he's had issues finishing season, staying healthy. Remember now, he's a year older, and he's one of my favorite. I think he's a tremendous player. Of course, the Vikings passed on him all those years ago. But you wonder now, running's a big element of his game. And is he starting to lose a step? I know there was some thought last year. There was that play against Kansas City in the title game where he almost looked like he was going to break away and he got caught from behind, which you start to worry about that with him going forward. And they lose the defensive coordinator, McDonald, who a lot of people like. So look, if you can get the 11, it's just very hard to go and win 12 games in the NFL, especially with that schedule. So I think at 10.5, I wouldn't play it. But if you can play the under 11 where you push on 11, I think the under is a good bet there.
And you're going to dab a little bit in college football. Colorado doesn't seem to have your support this year. What's happened here? You don't think Deion can rebuild on the program after he kind of got the electric start last year?
I don't. I think that was a lot of flukiness with that. They got turnovers against TCU. They got turnovers against Nebraska. They had a soft schedule. The schedule gets much harder this year. You look at the schedule. There's not one. You like when you're betting these overs, you like one or two cupcake wins where you can just bank it automatically where you're playing, Merrimack or McNeese State or whoever. They don't have any of those. And some of the 50-50 games that were at home last year, Colorado State and Nebraska, those games are on the road this year. Nebraska, look, rule in year two usually takes his program to another level. As you know, at Nebraska is not an easy game. North Dakota State's not an easy game. At Colorado State. And then you start to get in conference, the Arizonas of the world. It's week in, week out, you're playing tough games. They've started to lose some talent in the transfer portal. You hear some rumblings there that, boy, Deion kind of wears out his welcome wherever he goes. So to me, 4 wins is much more likely than 6 wins. I think it's a tough schedule. Curious what you guys think. Is Deion there 2 years from now, or is this just, does this flame out? Because it seems like this could be headed for disaster if things don't go well.
I think we still need a little bit of a bigger sample size, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's going to have to start. It's going to have to turn because he's not getting the same recruits that he was getting initially when he went in there, Stormy.
Yeah, for sure. I think that you have to prove yourself to an extent, right? And but that's why I think I need a little bit more runway here to see ultimately what he can do and if he can get buy-in and if he can get players to stick around. Will, as always, we so appreciate your time, pal. Thank you. And I'm sorry that I nearly died at the beginning of the segment. I'm glad that I could pull through for the team here.
Have a cough drop. You're as resilient as anybody in the business. So just have
great
a cough
work,
drop.
Great work, Stormy. Great work. Will, great job. Great job. Keep going, Will.
Thanks, Will. Again, make sure you check out the Shoulda Bet More podcast wherever you get your podcast. Will also does a great job on the Bear Bets podcast with Chris Felica, who he mentioned in the Fox Sports family of podcasts. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, things that Michael and I love most about the 4th of July, and hopefully nobody in the hot dog eating contest chokes too. That could be a real hazard. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. This thing is jam-packed, 84 pages, everything you need to bet the NFL smarter this season, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for each. new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl picks and predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from our VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards markets. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, this NFL guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Head to VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide now. That's VSiN.com/guide. Speaking of VSiN.com, that's also where you can find each and every day our VSiN Pro Tips, searchable by sport and by show. If you're looking tips specifically from our show and Michael Lombardi, that's all you need to do is type that into the search bar. But today's pro tip, Michael, comes complement of our conversation a moment ago with Will Hill about tying up your money in certain instances. Why don't you share?
Well, I think he made a great point. He said, like, look, the odds are moved. You could have got the 76ers before Paul George at 14-1. Would you tie up your money with Embiid, whether he's going to be healthy or not? That's a concern. And then it goes down to 8-1. Would you do it again? And I think anytime you're going to put your money out there for 7-8 months, Matthew Stafford, are you sure he's going to stay healthy? Because if he does, it's a good play. But if he doesn't, you know, you're going to eat that money and it's going to be bad. So I think you got to count on past performance predicts future achievement, right? You know Embiid will be hurt. That's just part of what's happened. We also know that, you know, Stafford can stay healthy, but he also does get. So you got to play it a little bit. And the odds aren't giving you any discount either. It's not like you're getting a great deal. So you might be better off just waiting and seeing. You don't have to do it. There's no rush to the get to the table immediately. So I think that is a good play. Just don't be in a rush, especially when there's a degree of injury that's related to your bet that could offset your winning the bet.
I like this tip too, because it is something that can span just about any sport. That thought process is true. And for me, and I know a lot of people disagree, but for me, Michael, this is why I personally have said that I can't buy in on the Jets, right? I know a lot of people are very high on the New York Jets for a number of reasons and how talented that roster is. But for me, I just don't feel comfortable tying up my money on a team that has so many players that are either coming off injury or injury prone. So, you know, do with that information what you will, but VSiN Pro Tips available at VSiN.com each and every day. Okay, we're going to close out the show with a little bit of fun here, Michael, because we're just a couple days away from the 4th of July. And with that in mind, for our Lombardi's list, we're ranking our top five favorite things that we love to do and we love about the 4th of July. So when you think of Independence Day, first and foremost, Michael, like, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I mean, one of the first things, obviously, is Lee Greenwood's song, you know, the Lee Greenwood song that comes out that I particularly appreciate, you know, God bless USA, that plays every day here on the boardwalk. If you walk on the Ocean City boardwalk here at 9:30 when they open up the water slide, they play that song to highlight the country and all that. So that's part of what we're celebrating, is the birth of our nation, 248 years of that. So that's incredible. But to me, it's always about, you know, it starts off with the neighborhood that I live in, there is a bike ride. And so there's a bunch of kids, they decorate their bicycles, and we have a bike parade that runs pretty much throughout the neighborhood all the way up to the boardwalk. But it starts with breakfast in the backyard. So somebody's got to cook for the kids, which is typically would be me or Dina, Bill's sister-in-law, Anissa's wife. She usually works the grill in there. And then you go to the beach, you play wiffle ball, which is the best thing at all. And then you come nighttime after you come back from the beach, you get to listen to the playlist, which will be a fight. And then you get to have hot dogs and burgers and sit outside and enjoy the summertime. So it's really, to me, it's really what summer's all about, right? Now, I didn't put ice cream in there, Stormy, but you're probably going to have some ice cream in this. But it's music, it's family, it's friends, it's celebration, and it's really a respect to the freedom that we share in this country and the advantages that we have all had, no matter how much we want to complain about what it's like here, to be able to live here and to work here and to enjoy this country is something to celebrate.
Yeah, absolutely. That we have the day to celebrate it however we want to is exactly what the beauty and the essence is of our country. But I love that, especially the ice cream, because I didn't have that on my list as well. I mean, I have food, so I guess we can throw that under that label. But especially whether it's ice cream or it's the bomb pops, the red, white, and blue bomb pops, because you got to stay on brand with the colors of our... Yeah, that's the way to do it. On mine, so mine number one, and I did put mine in order, the top of the list, Michael, and I'm very sad that this was not included on yours, a staple of the day, whether you are just a viewer, a fan, somebody who has it on in the background, or a bettor, it's the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, number one. This is my, aside from celebrating our nation's freedom.
It kind of grosses me out. I got to be honest. It makes me not want to eat hot dogs. It kind of grosses me out. Ooh,
it's like a car wreck. You can't look away, though. You have to watch. We as a country, communitively, all get in front of the TV and we watch the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on the corner of Surf and Stillwell in Coney Island. It is a tradition. Also, just the fireworks in general. I love, you know, when you see the little kids out in the town and they've got sparklers in their hands or they're throwing poppets at your feet. I think that's such a special part of the day. And you're lucky. You're on beach life. I'm out here in the desert. But whether it is at the beach, a lake, a pool, something along those lines, vibing with your friends and family, having a great day. You've got the patriotic playlist playing in the background, whether it's the song that you're talking about in God Bless the USA or even some of just like the Katy Perry firework or Party in the USA, whatever fun stuff that you've got going on in the background with your friends. Food is a priority for me, as you can tell by the fact that Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest was number one on this list. But food in general, I mean, I love barbecue. The ribs, the chicken, you got the hot dogs going. Do your own personal hot dog eating contest with your friends and family. The hamburgers, whatever it is, the list goes on. And because I do live in Las Vegas, as I referenced, I don't have the beach at my disposal. I think backyard games are a fun time for this holiday. And, you know, there are a few that you can incorporate this, but you get the cornhole going or horseshoe or any of those fun things. We've got like a life-size Connect Four in my backyard, darts, whatever it is. All those things are so fun. And just like, it's the little things, I feel like, celebrating with the people that are most important to you, that we do have all of the things at our disposal that we do. And, you know, and it's an excuse to dress in red, white, and blue too. Why not?
Why not? And then usually right around 9 o'clock, Stormy, which I left off, is every little beach town along the Jersey Shore has their own fireworks. So you can walk down to the beach and you can look right and look left. And these barges are set up off the shoreline, which launch the fireworks, which are really incredible. So, you know, at 8:30, you might look to your right and see Sea Isles fireworks. And then, you know, Ocean Cities goes off at 9 o'clock and Atlantic City's over to the north and you could see those. So it's kind of like the sky, as the great Jimmy Buffett once said, is someone's painting the sky. And when he saw the fireworks in France, when they had their own Independence Day over there, and he wrote the song, I Painted the Sky. Yeah. I think there's a lot to that, and it's kind of interesting. And the beaches get filled up. It's almost impossible to get off the island after the fireworks are over with, because everybody just loads on. I think the island's going to sink at some point. There's so many people here.
I'm such a sucker for a good firework show, though. And but you're living the dream out there. Come on. We're not going to fall off. Everything's going to be fine. No. You've got the beautiful boardwalk, the beaches, the weather's great.
It's so crowded, though, Stormy. You have no idea. And people don't know how to drive in it. Mm. And now we've got electric bikes. We've had people in golf carts, electric bikes. Now we've added more potential accidents to the equation. And, you know, the golf carts are dangerous as it is because not everybody's protected. And, you know, you have to, at every stop sign, every crosswalk, people are walking towards the beach. Mm. And so you got to stop for them. It'll take me in the wintertime, it takes me a minute to get home. And now when I leave now, it'll take me 15 minutes to get home because I'm stopping at every street.
Do you guys have those little, what are they, like the Lime scooters? Do you have those out there too? Is that another?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got the Lime. They got everything. Now, you can't ride them up on the boardwalk. They have some decorum on the boardwalk. They should outlaw the electric bikes on the boardwalk because those things are motorcycles, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, these kids come flying around. Like, I mean, there's no chance. I call my father Barbershop. When I was a kid, their barbershop would have never bought me a bike to ride. I was biking to school every day, no matter what the weather was. Think he's going to buy me an electric bike to go there? Are you kidding me? I probably got lunch money, let alone get an electric bike.
Kids these days, they don't know what it's like. Last minute here,
they don't know.
Is it, you asked me earlier, and I didn't get your answer. So I'm a specific hot dog, ketchup, and mustard person. Maybe cheese. I mean, I love cheese. I love cheese on everything, though. But like, what's your style? How do you dress up the dog?
I love mustard. I'm a huge mustard fan, more than ketchup. I eat French fries with mustard. I want mustard on my dog. Oh yeah, I love. There's some old stadium mustard in Cleveland, Ohio. That's the best mustard of all. You can buy it on some stores. It's the best mustard. It's kind of a brown mustard, but it's the best. And so, yeah, I love mustard. So I put mustard on the dog. I don't need ketchup. I don't need anything.
I see, I've never done mustard with my fries. I don't think that I can get there. I'm a ranch person, though. I would say if we were ranking top tier condiments, ranch has got to be at the top of that list. I would, there are
we
some.
We just bought a gallon of ranch because Dominic showed up, and that's all, everything gets ranched on it.
I knew I liked Dominic. I knew we had this connection. That's amazing. There are certain types of ranches that are just superior, and like you could drink them and be happy. Okay, on that note, great show as always, Michael. Appreciate you. That's a wrap for us. Sharp Money and Patrick Maher are coming up next on VSiN.